We have a very difficult lesson tonight. And so, it is coming at a time when we only have two more classes in this book, parenthesis, and there is more to be revealed to us than we have had up to this moment. That which is to be revealed to us is of a very unusual nature. Perhaps it comes in this chapter, there remaineth the rest. A Sabbath. We know that many healings took place in the Bible during the Sabbath, and they were hotly contested by the scribes and Pharisees, who insisted that even on the Sabbath, anything that took place in the way of goodness was wrong. Healing on the Sabbath was taboo, according to them. And it would seem very important for us to know why healings took place on such a day, when the Judaic law from which Jesus sprang was broken by him. Why would he pointedly break that law? One of those who were healed on the Sabbath said, "Whereas I was blind, now I see." And if we took it literally, he meant that before his eyes were not able to see things, and now he could see things. But we can't take anything literally in the Bible. And we know that something had opened in that man beyond physical vision. We are to reach a point when we can say, "Whereas before I was blind, now I see." And yet we are not physically blind, so if we can say that, it must mean that whereas before I was blind to truth, to reality, to the true meaning of life and to life itself, now I understand the meaning of life. And not only that, now I am experiencing life. Before, I thought I was. I was living the human idea of life, blind to what life really is. Strangely, there's no one who can tell us what life really is. It takes the Sabbath. It takes the rest. It takes that reaching into the depth of our own being that reveals something that has been missed by the religions of the earth, the educators, the theologians, the philosophers, the great minds of all time. And that is revealed only by your own inner being. So much of it we have heard and read and even mouthed ourselves. But the experience has no adjectives to describe it. I said this was an unusual class because we are going to move toward that experience, opening ourselves to a realization that will live with us for the rest of our days. What shall we take a Sabbath from? We learn in this infinite way that the Sabbath means to us a rest from the world. Not just a week, not just a day, not just 15 minutes, or not a special day set aside to worship God. To us, the Sabbath means a state of consciousness in which we release ourselves from this world And there are many degrees of Sabbath in that release. You can release yourself from just this moment, or you can release yourself from the powers of this world, from the sicknesses. You can release yourself from weariness, from pain, from struggle, from strife. You can release yourself from time and space. You can take a Sabbath from the sense of sound, from the sense of touch, the sense of taste. You might, for example, just rest and say, I'm going to take a Sabbath now from the world of vision. I'll close my eyes, and all that I rest from will be that which is visible in the world. Or you could take a Sabbath from the world of sound, and whatever you hear, you can neutralize by knowing the non-reality of sound. For nothing in this world is my Father's kingdom. You can take a Sabbath from the world of sensation, of any of the five senses or all five. You can take a Sabbath from what you believe you are, from what you think you have been, a Sabbath from your own will, your own desires, your own directions. You can take a total Sabbath in which you walk upon the waters of spirit, placing your faith in no man, not even your own human self. All of this, then, begins to shape up as a way in which you are released from something you had not known before, was separating you from the very qualities and quantities of life that you were seeking. You started out with a 3-minute meditation in the morning and a 3-minute meditation at night. You developed a little further, and during the day you had your periods of fasting from thought. Soon you became hungry. Every time you are not meditating, every time you are not fasting from thought, you began to miss the real food, the spiritual food that only comes in the Sabbath from the five senses. And then you began yearning to be still, even with the eyes open, even while laboring, even while about the daily tasks, because you knew by now that the Sabbath of the senses is not a way of withdrawing totally from the world, but rather it is a way of spiritual renewal, of tasting that spiritual food which brings spiritual energy, a way of releasing into yourself new and higher capacities while you walk and live in the world. Now, Jesus lived in the world, but every time he set out for the valleys, he first went to the mountaintop. The prophets lived in the world, but they took their 40 days and nights to refresh spiritually, to be fed by something far greater than the human intellect. So you say to yourself, am I really aware of the depth of my own being? Is Christ to me a word or a reality? Do I really believe that Christ is a substance of all being? How real is this Christ to me? And then you seek this inner self. Now, when you go back deep inside and rest, you are permitting yourself to take a Sabbath from a person that you may have thought you really know. A person who at one time was an infant, who came through a mother's womb and a mother's consciousness and came into an infant form. That infant form was called you. When you take a Sabbath now, you are taking a Sabbath from that infant form which has grown up into an adult form. And surely there must be a deeper reason for this Sabbath from that form and that mind. A reason that perhaps even you at this stage cannot be truly aware of. Let's investigate the deeper reason. Before you existed in this form, did you exist? And if you didn't, then I guess God didn't know what he meant when he said, "The glory I had with thee before the world is still mine." We have to take the word of the Father that we did exist before this form. Before Abraham was, I am. We have to see that we didn't spring out of nothing and nowhere. There was a life, a pre-existent life to this form, and you were that life. And then you emerged from the mother's womb in a form. And that form was given the name you bear. Did you cease being the life that you were before this form? If so, how could the form continue to exist? How could it move? From where would it derive its activity, its life, its sustenance, its intelligence? The form, then, did not stop you from being the life that you were before you became a form. There was one great error made. It was believed that the form was you. It was not known that the life was you and the form was your possession. And this was your separation from life. That form grew up and entertained a separation from its own life. And in that separation from its own life, it has ever been seeking that life. And the life that it has been seeking has been the source of its unrest. Reaching out for the life from which it was separated only by a sense of separation, it invented a word called God. God took the place of the life that it had laid aside through conditioning. And now it was seeking God. And every time something went wrong, it cried out to this God, "Help me. Look down upon this poor mortal." And so every child out of every womb became a form without a life. And yet it was the life appearing to the mortal eye as form, and it knew it not. This was rectified by one who knew about his pre-existent life. One who came through a womb that was governed by an enlightened consciousness, which was called a virgin consciousness. And so they call it a virgin birth. And through his pre-existent enlightenment and her enlightened consciousness, he was born into the fourth dimension of consciousness. And could live on both sides of the material veil. And his great triumph was the realization that I am not the form, I am the life. And that life had a name, Christ. He knew, although his brothers and sisters didn't know, because they were not enlightened in their pre-existence. They came through the same virgin consciousness of the mother, but they could not add to it their own pre-existent enlightenment, for they had none. Now that's the way-shower. And what the way-shower did, we are to do. To become aware that the pre-existent life which we were, we never stopped being. We are that now. But that's only a small part of the story. You can find something that you never suspected as you go back now within yourself to that moment. To that moment of birth. When you emerge as a form and relive it. It happened in time. It did not happen in now. In the eternal now, the form never came forth. Go back to that moment. It is right now. And see that the Christ, the life, never did become the form. Never. It remained the Christ. The Christ of your being never became your physical form. It never became that infant. The Christ never became Jesus. It could not. It could only be itself. And this was what the form called Jesus understood. The Christ that I am never became a physical form. And therefore, I am that Christ and not the physical form. And this was his spiritual crucifixion. And it happened 3 years before his physical crucifixion. This was his death to the false self. We have a spiritual crucifixion ahead of us. A glimpse of it tonight, but the rest of it you must work out. And so the Sabbath releases you from mortal thought, releases you gradually from all that has happened, from that false moment of placing a label on the form and saying, this is me. For from that came a mind. From that came a body. From that came organs of the body. From that came an imitation life. From that came activity. All separate and apart from the life itself. And this life must be restored. The still waters of the Sabbath is the return, the restoration of the soul. In the stillness, we are resting from a mind that never was, from a life that never was, from a substance that never was, from activity that never was, and we are being reunited with the Christ of our own being. In the Sabbath of the mind, in the Sabbath of the senses, in the Sabbath of the physical form, we are letting the life that we are come forth, revealing itself. And in that moment, I and the Father are consciously one. You will have to relive that moment of separation many times before the light breaks through. But when it does, you are in the circle of eternity. When it does, you are released from the false belief of a being, a life, a body, separate and apart from Christ. There remaineth a rest. And so these moments of rest accumulate like drops of water on a stone, slowly dissolving that which appears as matter, dissolving that which appears as a material life. This is the transformation that is the rebirth, the return to self. Only Jesus was able to see that Christ could never become physical form, but Christ was his being. And it took a year and a half to 2 years before Peter could blurt out, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus knew that from close to the age of 18. But the full realization of it came with the descent of the dove. That was the spiritual crucifixion of Jesus and the birth of the Christ. That was the oneness attained. There is in us something greater than our human capacities. Unless we are aware of it, we will not permit ourselves to be released to it. But because most of us are aware of it and eager to be released to it, we make the Sabbath a daily adventure. Some of us more than others, depending upon the time at our disposal, depending upon the earnestness of our desire to live in the Father. We are told to labor not for the meat that perisheth. And this means to take the first fruits of every hour and give them to God. This means to take 3 minutes out of the 60. And rest in the Sabbath, the oneness consciously with the inner Christ. And wherever you find someone who is doing that, you find someone who has made 56 or 57 minutes of the hour do more than 60 did before. The quality and the quantity of work changes. Because my yoke is easy, says the Father. When you release your thinking mind, when you take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall wear, what ye shall drink, it doesn't mean that you're taking your mind and putting it away forever. It means that your spiritual renewal is bringing you a different kind of bread. The taking no thought for what ye shall eat goes right along with man does not live by bread alone. It doesn't say no bread. Not by bread alone. There's another kind. There's the spiritual bread that comes in the Sabbath of the mind. Take no thought for the water that you shall drink. There's another kind of water. It's the water of truth that comes in the Sabbath. And for what you shall wear does not refer to your physical clothes. The garment that the mind wears. and the garment that is woven in one piece from above, the garment of spirit. These are yours in the Sabbath. And the purpose of this phrase and its constant repetition by Jesus was because he had discovered that without the Sabbath of the mind, there were no miracles. Without the Sabbath of the mind, there would have been no scripture. How could the Father speak the scriptures of the world if the human mind were not at rest? How could the healing miracles have come? How could the Word be made flesh? How could manna fall from the sky if there had not been a Sabbath for Moses? Or biscuits from ravens if there had not been a Sabbath for Elijah? Or the raising of the dead if there had not been a Sabbath for Jesus? Who can raise the dead? No man. But the inner spirit can reveal that death does not exist, as your inner spirit can reveal that you are diseaseless and deathless. So we are lifted beyond the mortal myth. We are lifted into the revelation of immortality now, of eternality now, of a wisdom behind my human wisdom now, of every measure of the Father now. So the Sabbath removes you from the hypnotism of this world. How often shall you be in the Sabbath? Depends on how often you wish to be removed from the hypnotism. It is working 24 hours a day. I find it very necessary to go back again and again to a moment when the false consciousness of my parents claimed me as their son, and to accept the words of the Master that no man is my father upon this earth, because I never came into a world of form except in my imagination. Do you realize that until you have made this a complete understanding in you, that you are serving mammon and not God? Do you realize that until this is erased in your consciousness, you cannot be a benediction, moving in the glory of the Father, that you are barricading yourself from the very grace you seek? If you ever came into physical form, you are truly a miracle worker, for the Father never made one. And that is why the circle of eternity is such a sacrosanct area. We all want to enter, but few are willing or have the perspicacity to know that the human form is the barrier. It must be seen not as a human form at all. It is the outer visible of your invisible mind. Your form is your mind. Your mind made visible becomes your form. They are one and the same. and your mind, which beholds both good and evil, is the channel through which every experience in your human form must come. There is nothing in your form that is not first in your mind, even though to your mind it seems that things come to your form from outside. There is no outside. When you're sick, your form is showing forth that which is passing through your mind. When you're unemployed, your form is showing forth that which is passing through your mind. Whatever the discord you are experiencing in the form, it can never be there unless it is in your mind first. It is first the invisible activity of mind and then the visible activity of form, and often they are simultaneous. And therefore, in the Sabbath from that mind, you are releasing the body, the form, from the false activity of that mind. For by now you know that mind is not one with Christ. Or else Paul would never tell us to have that mind that was in Christ Jesus. And so every difficulty of the form merely awaits the Sabbath of the mind. And in that Sabbath of the mind, world thought, which is the real culprit, is looking for a channel through which it can come in you, but there is none. You're taking a sabbatical. World thought seeks you out to present to you its latest claim about disease or death or pain or disability. But it finds a no vacancy sign in your mind. And so it can't attack the body because the body is the mind made visible. The circuit of hypnotism is broken by the sabbatical, by the rest, by the stillness. The Christ within becomes the visible sunlight outside. Ever shining, but our human thoughts pass between that sun and this form, and we see the gray, the shadows. The world thought passes between the sun and the person, and becomes the fog, the gray day. And even our soul does not bring forth the Christ through that density of thought. But then the density lifts, the sabbatical, the Sabbath, and we find the sun shining now. And there's a new body alive, a luminous moon. It is receiving the Christ light. Our soul is being enacted in the sky. And it transmits that light to us, changing night to day, changing darkness to light. The sun represents the Christ, the moon's soul. Without that opening within to the Christ, without that light of the Christ to light our soul, we live in darkness. If you wish to do what Jesus did, you must find the light of your being. And if you do not find the light of your being, you live in darkness. And the other word for darkness is mortality, humanhood. And so our Sabbath is going to release us eventually from the belief that I am form, and is going to reestablish in the oneness which knows that I am life, Christ, the very substance of God. The Sabbath is going to reveal your divinity and dissolve your human claim that you are not divine. And this is the pathway to grace. There are many things that Joel has brought us, but none are more important than the realization that we are all branches cut off until we come into a state of unknowing, in which we know that we are now a branch that is barren. We empty ourselves out. We are a complete and total inner vacuum. We seek nothing, we desire nothing, we are nothing. Humanly. Because the moment we know we are nothing humanly and have the experience of that, we also know who we really are. Christ enters in. And the barren branch is suddenly bearing divine fruit. The infinite is the Christ. Infinite being is revealed where finite mortal had stood. Hypnotism is broken. There is no discord on the face of the earth that can defile the one consciousness you have established by the realization of the nothingness of humanhood and the allness of Christ, the allness of spirit, the allness of the light, the allness of the one being that you were before the form and never stopped being during the form and are this moment and ever will be. Then we're walking with those who have been willing to be released from the mortal myth. All the way up to this mountaintop, you find it difficult. But you've had your glimpses when the truth became astonishingly simple. Why, of course, only God is alive. There is no other life. What am I worrying about? Why am I so concerned about tomorrow? Why do I fear bad health? What can I fear if I accept that only God is alive? And so as I measure my thoughts, I must conclude that I don't really believe that only God is alive. Or if I do, it's just up in the head. It hasn't yet reached the heart. But you see, there is no other life than God life. And the only life you can worry about is one that isn't God life. And so you're accepting non-God life as yours when you worry about anything. Any fear, any discord, any acceptance of any form of worry about tomorrow can only be about a life that doesn't exist and can only emanate from a consciousness that doesn't exist. In your Christ acceptance, you're not limiting your life anymore to the life of this minute or yesterday or tomorrow. You're accepting the one life of God as your life. And it's only the thousand Sabbaths of the mind that lift you to the point where you can do this. Because in the final analysis, you do not do this. It is Christ revealing itself in you and as you that brings the realization and dissolves the mortal belief. Your final pearl is I am. I always was Christ, I ever will be. I am now. And this is the truth of you, which does take the heart and release it from all concern about where you're going and how you're going to get there. Because you begin to know there's another life, quite different than the one you have been experiencing, and that's the life you wish to experience. That life can still go down to the office tomorrow and go about the same affairs you've been going about, but it will be a different life. It will be a life that is not confined within four walls or within the frame of bone and tissue, but rather the four walls will be in that life. The bones and tissue will be in that life. That life will be living and directing and guiding. It will be looking from within its infinite self into itself. And you will know it is you. And it will move in its eternal rhythm. It will fulfill itself in all things. It does not depend on the bread of this world. It does not depend on machinery, on human mechanisms. It does not depend upon good weather or bad weather. There is nothing in this world that it depends upon, and it is your life. It is self-sustaining. It does not struggle to survive. It does not fear. And so the two of you, the one you have not been but thought you were, and the one you are but didn't know you are, these slowly change places. The consciousness changes place with the old. And as the Sabbaths continue, always within yourself something is saying, whereas you were blind, you're seeing better every day. Until one day, in the privacy of your deepest stillness, you are born. You are born. The you that you departed from, but which never left you, comes over the horizon of your consciousness. I am come. I am life. I am your Christ self. Now you're in the eternal Sabbath. For from that moment on, Christ liveth your life. You're in the seventh day when the Father rested. You're in the seventh day of consciousness. Grace liveth your life. Grace perfecteth. Grace performeth. Grace puts your foot to the right and to the left, to the north and to the south. Grace reveals its infinite qualities where you stand. Grace releases you from the human prison. Grace takes you behind the veil. Grace shows you that neither life nor death can separate you from Christhood. This isn't true tomorrow, this is true this moment. It has been true every waking day and every sleeping night of the life that you have been living. It will remain true whether you become a murderer or an adulteress. Your good or bad behavior cannot change it. If you die 10 more times to mortality, you will still be that eternal Christ. And your destiny is to release the false belief that you began life with this form, or with any previous form, and to be reunited in consciousness with that which we have called God, when what we really meant was life eternal, spirit, being, the one immortal self. Now, while you're about this, the truth is that you're not only not separated from Christ, because that is your name, nor from God, because God is Christ, but you're not separated from any person on the face of this earth. For each is that same Christ that you are. And that is why Paul tells us we are joint heirs with Christ, to reveal to us the one invisible self, which is the only. That self you were before this form, that self you are now. And as you learn to behold each individual, not with human eyes, not even with human faith, but with the Christ vision of your true self, you will perceive that you are everywhere. There is no one in this universe but you. That awareness will engulf you. You will see that Christ is omnipresent. You will see that God is omnipresent. And the realization of it is the experience which lifts you into the infinite. And only the infinite is real. All from those first 3 minutes of silence in the morning, those 3 minutes of silence at night, the first fruits then later of every hour to the Father, until you're no longer laboring for the things of this world. Instead, you are sowing the seeds of your own Christhood wherever you go. by silence, by letting Christ do the work, by not trying to infringe upon the activity of the Christ. You lose all competition. Nobody in this world is competing with you. Other men and other women may think so, but you know the Christ has no competitor. You find that you can even love in a new way. You can share in a new way. It isn't you that's sharing anymore. It isn't you that's loving. It's this new you, the you you always were, which has infinity to share. And as it bestows, it receives. As it loves, it is loved. Wherever it goes, it knows there are 12 baskets full. It has no need to store in bonds. It has no need to plan tomorrow. It is already this moment every tomorrow. Now, of course, this is a completely different way than the human way. And to human ears, it sounds like some kind of a utopia, just existing as an idea but never as a fact. Well, Jesus found this utopia as the kingdom of God on earth and demonstrated that it is a fact and that it is within you, not in a temple, not in a holy mountain, but within you. And God is within that kingdom, within you. And then he said, you are the light of the world. Do you know up to the moment that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he did not know that Christ was the life of Jesus? And 5 minutes later, he didn't know it either. But you see, Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus had said, I am the light. The light and the Christ are one and the same, are they not? And Jesus had also said, ye are the light of the world. The light and the Christ are one and the same, are they not? Ye are the Christ, he was saying. If tomorrow you could go forth and suddenly learn that you were the Prince of Wales, instead of a hobo on 4th Street or Skid Row here, would you not accept your true identity? Would you rather be a hobo on Skid Row than the Prince of Wales? Few would. If you found you have another identity called Christ, which does not die, what form of unintelligence would remain in a mortal body, in a mortal mind, with all of its lacks and limitations and fear and drudgeries? The identity that is revealed to us as ours is the immortal self. And the Sabbath, from all of the beliefs that we have entertained, will make a living reality in your consciousness of that immortal self. So although we had just a little 7-pager called There Remaineth the Rest, a seemingly bland little series of paragraphs, in that rest, the thunder of silence comes. Out of that rest come the scriptures of the world. Out of that rest comes one who can proclaim, I am the Christ. And thou, Pilate, thou couldst have no power over me. Out of that rest come multitudes fed with invisible food. The dead walking out of their tombs. Eyes that open, ears that hear. Out of that Sabbath why not for us? We have all been rewarded by our rest, each of us to the measure that we have been able to go within, have received the fruits of the Spirit. But they are very small compared to the infinite storehouse that awaits those who will walk to the very last mile of silence. None of us are living in a form. We are life itself, which is independent of form, unbounded. It has its own spiritual form. It has never changed from what it is. And you will not recognize or realize that unbounded spiritual self without the continuous periods of rest. Oh, how many times Joel has underlined, meditation is the way. It isn't optional. It isn't just a way to get things. It's the way to life. Everlasting. Many of us have felt the presence of Joel very strongly through this series of chapters. Not only was he an instrument for the words that appeared in the book, but he's also an instrument to see that those words make contact with the consciousness of those who are ready to show forth the glory of the hidden spirit. He may come to you in many ways, as may others. And you may find now that you are walking within the consciousness of the saints. You know that Jesus never learned as much as the world thinks he did from living people on this side of the veil. The talk about his silent years and the belief that he traveled everywhere to learn. Be assured that his teachers came to him within. That Moses was one of his teachers. Elias. He may have been taught by Buddha and Krishna. For when you dwell in the spirit, you can tabernacle and do with those who have attained their Christhood. And your teachers are the living, invisible Christ who have made transitions into sons of God. And so the living vibo of living true saints, not saints established by a man-made hierarchy, but those who had made transition. These were the teachers in the early formative years, the silent years. And that's how a boy of 18 comes into the Christ awareness. And these should be your teachers now, whether they have names to you or not. For in the Sabbath, in the rest, away from that mind of man, which cannot receive from the invisible teachers, you are opening your consciousness to all those who have walked before you as prophets. There's nothing that says Isaiah cannot come in the silence of your mind, or Jesus, or John, or many anonymous ones. For you may be sure that each of us must be divinely guided, for there's no other way for us to enter the kingdom of God. And so you walk in this invisible atmosphere of the Christ, consciously. Why commune with a drunk at the neighborhood saloon when you can be still and commune with Buddha, or Krishna, or Jesus, or Joel? Why turn our back away from the accumulated wisdom of all time by lingering in a human mind that is completely oblivious to this great transcendental wisdom? Why continue to live in a body that someday is not going to be? Why not maintain that vigil in consciousness toward our own spiritual crucifixion? When the Spirit in us announces, and now the Christ in you, which you left in consciousness, but which never left you, is born. Its yoke is easy. It knows the way. And it will take you out of this body before it dies. It will take you out of this mind before it kills this body. And it will show you a kingdom on earth where life is eternal. There remaineth a rest, and that rest is the pathway to this life eternal. To those who are spiritually wise, no more need be said. The true teacher rests within. The true identity rests within and without. We no longer seek money, health, wealth, comfort. We labor not for the meat that perisheth. We seek only one thing: myself, my reality. Having my reality, all that the Father hath is mine. Do you foresee any barriers? There's only one.